Get involved by going to kboo.fm and click on donate to become a member. It's 8:59.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the second annual Know Your City Gala, Untold Stories, on Thursday, November 16th at 5:30 p.m. at the EcoTrust Event Space in Portland. Untold Stories is Know Your City's second annual benefit gala, and it raises essential funds to further Know Your City's programs of engaging everyday Oregonians in the history, culture, and civics of the region. This year's gala will bring together over 150 guests for an unforgettable evening, including hors d'oeuvres, drinks, dessert, performances from local talent, and a paddle raise. Again, that's the second annual Know Your City Gala, Untold Stories, on Thursday, November 16th at 5:30 p.m. at the EcoTrust Event Space, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue, Suite 200 in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, maybe this is the news that you're not supposed to dwell upon, as opposed to the news that you might not know yet, but I want to double down on an article by Joe Rahm. 15,000 scientists warn it will soon be too late to avoid climate catastrophe. They've co-signed a journal article pleading with humanity to embrace sustainability now before it's too late to shift course away from our failing trajectory. The article is in Bioscience, and it's titled World Scientists Warning to Humanity, A Second Notice. It notes that 25 years ago, thousands of the world's leading scientists warned humanity about the worsening problems of ozone depletion, freshwater availability, marine fishery collapses, ocean dead zones, forest loss, biodiversity destruction, climate change, and continued human population growth. In that 1992 statement, the world's top scientists hereby warn all humanity, quoting, of what lies ahead, a great change to our stewardship, a great change in our stewardship of the earth and the life on it is required if vast human misery is to be avoided and our global home on this planet is not to be irretrievably mutilated, end quote. A quarter century later, more than 15,000 researchers, the most scientists to ever co-sign and formally support a published journal article, as the article itself points out, want the world to know that things are getting worse and time is running out. Since 1992, they say, with the exception of stabilizing the stratospheric ozone layer, humanity has failed to make sufficient progress in generally solving these foreseen environmental challenges, and alarmingly, most of them are getting far worse, end quote. Now, I would differ from them because I also recall that the acid rain problem was approached pretty well. And acid rain isn't what it was projected to be. So that's two things, ozone and acid rain. And I say that because there's reason to hold hope. Of course, the powers that be, the oil companies particularly, the Pentagon, are really going to drag their feet on anything but a petroleum economy. And moving against them is going to be much more difficult than moving against the coal plants and the factories in the U.S. that were producing acid rain. And the sources for the destruction of the ozone layer, those things were done. This is going to be harder. But returning to the article, the authors do note some promising trends. For instance, the rapid global decline in ozone-depleting substances shows that we can make positive change when we act decisively. We have also made advancements in reducing extreme poverty and hunger. In addition, we've seen the promising decline in the rate of deforestation in some regions and the rapid growth in the renewable energy sector. But all of those gains are in the process of being overwhelmed by our inaction on other key trends. The scientists explain, especially troubling is the current trajectory of potentially catastrophic climate change due to rising GHGs from burning fossil fuels, deforestation, and agricultural production, especially from livestock farming. Also, humanity has unleashed a mass extinction event, the sixth in roughly 540 million years, wherein many current life forms could be annihilated or at least committed to extinction by the end of this century. The bottom line is that to prevent misery and catastrophic biodiversity loss, humanity must practice a more environmentally sustainable alternative to business as usual. Of course, the scientists note this is the same warning scientists issued a quarter century ago. Now, thanks to our dawdling, quote, soon it will be too late to shift course away from our failing trajectory and time is running out, end quote. And, of course, what they don't say is that we haven't addressed capitalism. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. News you're not supposed to know. Anonymous took down more than a dozen hate websites early Wednesday morning in a coordinated effort to punish racist groups around the world. A Twitter account under the name of AnaniInfo took credit for the attack, explaining that the effort was in retaliation for the Charlottesville, Virginia Unite the Right rally, as well as the failed White Lives Matter rallies in Tennessee, according to a report by International Business Times. And The Root writes that the ongoing effort targeted more than a dozen sites like AltRightTV.com, Vanguard America Online, AmericanNaziParty.com, and this list, CNKKK.net, TexasLS.org, NorthCarolinaLeagueOfTheSouth.com, MarylandLS.org, TexasRebelKKK.com, TexasKKK.com, what is it about Texas? Virginials.org, CNKKK.net, JewWorldOrder.org, BasedStickMan.com, WhiteHonor.com, TraditionalistAmericanKnights.com, OathPreppers.com, and NJOathKeepers.org. One of the anonymous hackers is quoted saying, "We've had plenty of Anons contribute to the operation worldwide, knowing that this is a U.S.-based operation. The fight against fascism is so global, we may consider expanding our operation to work with anonymous groups in their own countries," end quote. The group said that this effort is to reduce terrorism by white supremacist organizations and to stop the efforts to mainstream racism. And I want to double down on that statement. The words hate speech get used a lot. And as I've often said, I really don't care if speech is full of hatred. What I care is it used to intimidate, backed up by armed death squads. And that is the case with the Nazis and the Klan and the alt-right that make common cause with the Nazis and the Klan. When they raise their symbol, that is the speech. Anything they say after that is under that meta. And the meta is that if you are one of the groups that they hate, and one of the groups that they hate, then they may be finding a way to harm you or your children. It's terrorism. This from the speaking of terror under the category of male terror. This from the Guardian. It seems that even Princess Ivanka is turning her back on Judge Roy Moore, he of the Ten Commandments, famously. Two more women, they write, have come forward to rescue. Got that exactly backwards. Let me try that again. Two more women have come forward to accuse Roy Moore of sexual assault, with one claiming the controversial Alabama Senate candidate gave her a forceful kiss that scared her when she was around 18, and another saying Moore grabbed her buttocks in his law office in 1991 when she was 28. They join a growing list of women who have alleged sexual misconduct by Moore, a former judge seeking to fill the Alabama Senate seat vacated by the U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The controversy has roiled the Senate race, 1 month before the state's special election, with top Republicans in Washington calling on the embattled candidate to drop out of the race. Again, this is from The Guardian in Britain, guardian.co.uk. The scandal began when Washington Post reported that Leigh Korfman said that when she was 14 in 1979, Moore kissed and touched her and made her touch his crotch. Beverly Young Nelson then came forward to claim Moore physically attacked her in a car when she was 16, grabbing her breasts and trying to force her head down onto his crotch. A Washington Post report published late Wednesday detailed the accounts of Becky Gray and Gina Richardson, who in the late 1970s worked at the same mall from which Moore was rumored to have been banned after local talk that he had been bothering young women there. Moore, then around 30 years old, asked for a phone number of a woman of a girl at the mall, senior in high school. Skipping ahead because I'm getting tired of the details. I'm wondering if I'm triggering people. The gist of the story is Roy Moore is in more and more trouble. Skipping ahead in the article, Moore's refusal to bow out of the race, despite the insistence of a growing chorus of Republican lawmakers that he do so, has escalated pressure on Donald Trump to weigh in on the matter. Sorry. What an absurd idea. Maybe he could offer groping advice. But returning to the article, but the president, who returned to Washington this week following a 12-day tour of Asia, ignored questions at the White House on Wednesday when asked by reporters if Moore should quit or if Trump believed his accusers. Trump also declined to comment on the allegations during his Asia visit, telling reporters he had been focused on his trip. Ivanka Trump became the first White House official to condemn Moore on Wednesday, telling the Associated Press, "There's a special place in hell for people who prey on children." And Princess Ivanka continued, "I've yet to see a valid explanation for Moore, and I have no reason to doubt the victim's accounts." Ivanka did not, however, call on Moore to exit the race. Time is 9:11. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Inviting your calls today, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now, regarding the revelations of Russian interference in the U.S. elections, I wonder if anyone remembers these words from 2004, selecting from Alternet. White supremacist banners and Confederate flags were draped inside Kyiv's occupied City Hall. And demonstrators have hoisted Nazi SS and white power symbols over a toppled memorial to V.I. Lenin. After Yanukovych fled his palatial estate by helicopter, Euromaidan protesters destroyed a memorial to Ukrainians who died battling Nazi occupation during World War II. Sieg Heil salutes and the Nazi Volksengel symbol have become an increasingly common sight in Maidan Square, and neo-Nazi forces have established autonomous zones in and around Kyiv. In a leaked phone conversation with Jeffrey Pyatt, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Victoria Nuland revealed her wish for Tyanyabuk to remain on the outside, but to consult with the U.S. replacement for Yanukovych, Yatsenyuk, four times a week. At a December 5, 2013 U.S.-Ukraine Foundation conference, Nuland boasted that the U.S. had invested $5 billion to build democratic skills and institutions in Ukraine, though she did not offer any details. And I bring this up because that $5 billion, as we can look back to reports greatly preceding that outbreak, that $5 billion was invested in large part into Svoboda and Right Sector, Nazi groups, which now have international power because of their funding and logistical support from the United States. Victoria Nuland disrupting what might have become a democratic process in Ukraine and forcing it to the right, forcing it into Europe's and American oligarchs' hands by using Nazis. And we now see blowback from that. I think that perhaps that has been forgotten. I wonder if anyone remembers that Paul Weyrich, or the misleadingly named National Endowment for Democracy, traveled across Gorbachev's Russia in the early 1990s, distributing cash in blocks of $50,000 to the worst sort of yahoos they could find, including Boris Yeltsin, later known for actually bombing his own parliament with artillery. It was distributed to any anti-government thug they could find. That's called interfering with people's elections. In a very brutal and direct way. It seems absurd to me in the light of the history of the Voice of America and Radio Marti And CIA agent Townley's pro-Pinochet pirate station in Santiago in 73 that the United States and its oh-so-pure and innocent citizens could object to some disruptive Facebook ads. What do you care? They're playing so nicely. There's no bombs going on. We know how to do disruption in these parts, and we don't restrict it to the internet. Oh, no, just ask the victims of U.S.-funded regime change-seeking death squads like Mano Blanco in El Salvador, or the Contras in Nicaragua, or for that matter, Savak in Iran, who tortured dissidents with the latest CIA-trained techniques. We, Americans, have been standing aside and having our barbecues and our football games and sending our boys off to fight. And waving that flag and thinking of ourselves as so pure and wonderful. And, oh darn, it looks like something blew back a little bit on Facebook. Well, that's what disgusts me. It's not that I think the Russians should try to interfere with American democracy, what little of it there might be. But the idea that it's outrageous or that it... that it even compares to the brutality that American imperialism has forced upon the world is just absurd. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. More news you're not supposed to know. A group of House Democrats on Wednesday introduced 5 articles of impeachment. Maybe you heard about that on Democracy Now! This morning. They're accusing President Donald Trump of obstructing justice, violating the Foreign Emoluments Clause, undermining the freedom of the press, and other constitutional breaches. Now, speaking for myself, when we're talking about foreign emoluments, we're talking about the blatant cash grabbing that the Trump administration does by holding their hotels open, using the Trump brand, which his trip around the world certainly promoted, and which he personally promotes. The Emoluments Clause says that you're not going to make yourself rich by being president. And President Trump obviously is making himself rich by being president. Of course, he was already rich, so that just makes it more disgusting. He can't stop. It's a sort of monomania that we praise and make heroes out of in this country for some reason. Quoting Representative Steve Cohen of Tennessee, who introduced the articles of impeachment, "The time has come to make clear to the American people and to this president that Trump's train of injuries to our Constitution must be brought to an end through impeachment." He was joined by Al Green of Texas, Louis Gutierrez of Illinois, Brad Sherman of California, Marsha Fudge of Ohio, and John Yarmouth of Kentucky. "Given the magnitude of the constitutional crisis, there's no reason for delay," he said, and he called for hearings to begin immediately. So, impeachment is starting to happen. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. And I'll go to the first caller. Annie.
Oh, good morning, Teresa, and thank you for taking my call. I really don't have much to say other than, and perhaps did the lovely Ivanka say anything about her daddy?
I'm sorry, say it again.
The lovely Ivanka.
Ivanka, yes.
Did she have anything to say about her daddy?
Well, no. And it'd be interesting if she did, because if you recall that scene on the plinth in front of the Republican National Convention, and you can watch it on YouTube if you can stand it, watch his hands run over and over her body. Ugh.
Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. There's interesting psychoanalyses going on about that. I read an article that was saying that white women who voted in majority for Trump are so afraid of losing white hegemony that they would prefer to go with the beastliness that they know and vote for this gropey guy. I don't know if that's correct. It's hard to say things. It's hard for me to analyze such analysis since I'm no such expert, but it's interesting to read. More news you're not supposed to know. Time is 9:18. You're listening to KBOO Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell from VenezuelaAnalysis.com. On November 3rd, President Maduro of Venezuela proposed a meeting with creditors for November 13th in Caracas to discuss a restructuring of Venezuelan public debt. On November 8th, the Trump administration reacted by warning U.S. bondholders that attending this meeting could put them in violation of U.S. economic sanctions against Venezuela. Such a violation can be penalized by 30 years in prison and up to $10 million in fines for businesses. Now, speaking for myself, this is how a riotous state of impoverishment has been achieved in Venezuela. First, the price of oil dropped precipitously over the last several years. Venezuela sells a very thick tarry oil that is not as profitable to produce and which requires a higher barrel cost in order to be profitable. Now, on top of that, the U.S., which was angry over its failed coup, has been trying to make Venezuela, and this isn't just under the Trump administration, has been trying to make Venezuela submit by pulling this trick of saying, oh, well, you're human rights violators, unlike our friends the Saudis, I guess. And so we're going to make it illegal for you to get any loans to keep your business going. So money has been choked off and choked off and choked off by various means. Look up the jackals if you want to know how it's done. And things are very dire there indeed. And so, of course, the U.S. doubles down by blaming the victim and saying that it's socialism that has failed there. This is an old trick. This is something I've watched all my life in various countries. Sometimes it completely works. Other times it just makes people miserable or impoverishes a country. But it goes on and on. So, returning to the article, on Thursday, the administration added 10 more Venezuelan officials to the list of people under U.S. sanctions. The new targets included electoral officials and also the head of the government's main food distribution program. The sanctions violate the Charter of the Oregon of American States and other international treaties that the U.S. is on record having signed. It is important to understand both the context and the intended as well as likely effects of the Trump administration's actions. With encouragement from Florida Senator Marco Rubio and other Republicans, Trump has been trying to help topple the elected government of Venezuela. After 4 months of violent street protests failed to accomplish this goal and also alienated much of the Venezuelan population, most of the Venezuelan opposition opted to participate in gubernatorial elections of October 15th. The leading and most reliable pro-opposition pollster, Data Analysis, forecast an overwhelming opposition victory with 18 governors. The result, however, was the opposite. The governing PSUV Socialist Party won 18 of 23 races. Although there appear to be false vote totals that swung one close governor's race in Bolivar State and should be investigated, the other results are not in question, were accepted by most of the opposition. One thing that seems to have hurt the opposition was their support for the Trump sanctions. And that is how Venezuelan society is divided now. And that, too, I've seen before over and over. For example, in Nicaragua during the Contra War, the more comfortable sectors of the population tended to split off into those who would say, well, there's no point fighting the U.S. ever anyway, and we're better off even if they, you know, are grotesquely exploitative of us, so let's not ever fight and try to get our own agency and sovereignty. Let's just accept, you know, whatever terror they impose on us. And it splits societies when you have an outside force, the United States, interfering with your elections, interfering with your democracy, destroying it, throwing in terrorists, blocking your bankers and your government from getting the loans that every government needs, that every society needs to keep moving forward. And this is what is happening in Venezuela. And we here in the U.S. Can play our football games and wave our flags because we're so innocent. We're so very, very innocent. It just makes you cry to think how innocent Americans are. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Also from VenezuelaAnalysis.com, the U.S. chaired an informal meeting at the United Nations Security Council to discuss the situation in Venezuela, despite a boycott from leading members such as China and Russia. Quoting Nikki Haley, Washington's ambassador to the UN, "The crisis in Venezuela today poses a direct threat to international peace and security. Venezuela is an increasingly violent narco state that threatens the region, the hemisphere, and the world. Now, speaking for myself, I'd be willing to bet a beer that President Trump and possibly Nikki Haley cannot find Venezuela on a map. Also present at the meeting were Organization of American States Secretary General Luis Almagro and UN High Commissioner of Human Rights. UN High Commissioner of Human Rights, get this, Prince Zayed Van Raad of Saudi Arabia. Both vocal critics of the government in Caracas. He'd probably like to chop off their heads. The meeting was also boycotted by Bolivia and Egypt, who objected to Washington's interference in Venezuelan internal affairs. The Bolivian UN ambassador, Sasha Llorente, had a press conference alongside the Russians, the Chinese, and the Venezuelans, all objecting to it, and they said the situation in Venezuela is an issue that is entirely the responsibility of Venezuelans, and of course does not constitute a threat to international peace and security. So if you want to hear the other side of that, just tune in Fox News. I was saying last week that WSWS.org had been selected as fake news. And this is not true. WSWS.org is really quite good news. It's Trotskyist news. They make no bones about that. It's World Socialist. And they have editorials on there praising Trotsky. They do good work. And you need to pull up WSWS.org as part of the things that you pull up to be informed about the world. And also you need KBOO. So last thing I'm going to do as we get down to the bottom of the hour is give you some stories from WSWS.org by way of defiance and to remind you that this website exists and to fight the algorithms, the internet algorithms that are attempting to censor all leftists across the United States now under the Trump administration. But first, you are listening to KBOO and KBOO.fm. Bless you. And thank you for your ongoing support. We are stronger than ever. 50 years, baby. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, Per Fuggering details the inside story of the Saudi Knight of the Long Knives, the preemptive coup by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia. That should be interesting as they continue their war against Yemen with U.S. support, the U.S.'s sneaky Vietnam. At 10, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints. At 11 on Between the Covers, David Naiman speaks to Ray Armentrout about her new book. KBOO keeps you informed. You can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. So as I said, Per will be in here in just a couple of minutes. First, this from WSWS.org. U.S. Senate hearing exposes danger of nuclear war. Tuesday's Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing on the use of nuclear weapons highlighted the acute danger of the eruption of a war that could kill hundreds of millions or even billions of people. The hearing was called amid a series of threats by the Trump administration to go to war with North Korea. In addition to Trump's threats to unleash fire and fury like the world has never seen against a country whose economy is 1,000th the size of America's, National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, an active duty Army general, has made it clear that the U.S. is prepared to wage a preventive, that is, unprovoked war. To back up this threat, the Trump administration has deployed a vast armada off the Korean Peninsula, including three, count them, 1, 2, 3 aircraft, battle groups, and an array of nuclear-capable submarines and bombers. At the same time, Washington is moving to expand and modernize the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Speaking at Tuesday's hearing, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey declared that plans could be in place right now in the White House given to the president to launch a preemptive war against North Korea using American nuclear weapons without consulting with or informing Congress. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut said Congress was concerned that the president is so unstable, is so volatile, has a decision-making process that is so quixotic that he might order a nuclear weapons strike on a whim. These statements are an acknowledgment that even the smallest incident, from a wayward test missile to a clash between Russia, China, North Korea, or Iran, and any of the tens of thousands of U.S. troops, aircraft, and warships operating on their borders, to one of the president's notorious late-night temper tantrums, could lead to a full-scale nuclear attack by the United States. There's more on that, but I just want to say, doc and cover. Not that it'll do you any good. You might feel a little better doing that. So, You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm proud to say that Per Fagering is ready to come in with his report on Saudi Arabia. KBOO going out to you via 90.7 FM in Cascadia and other frequencies, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Events Committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning. This is Fight the Empire. My name is Per Fagering, and the Empire has many tentacles, and very interesting what Teresa was saying about Venezuela.